Before we start this episode in earnest, we have a fun announcement to make, Stephen Godfrey.
What is it? Am I supposed to set you up? Or, I mean...
Seamless as always. No, it's okay. I can take the ball on this one. Do you remember a little show we did called Who Killed College Football?
I think so. Yeah. You mean the book we accidentally wrote at the height of college football season last year? Killed College Football? Yeah, I remember.
We make good choices. So this episode is coming out on Wednesday, September 24th. The day after is Thursday, September 25th. And on that day, we are taking all of season one of Who Killed, and we are putting it on a new feed where it's all in front of the paywall.
Everybody.
Now. Yep. So
everybody. So in front of the paywall means that you don't have to pay for it. It means that all the suspect episodes, the entire series is going to be available for free immediately. And Ryan, that's not all.
Yes, we are also working on, I'm not going to say season two because we're not working on 60,000 more words of script.
We're working on new content for Who Killed College Football.
Yes.
If you want to be a part of that, if you want to get access, exclusive early access to the next chapters of Who Killed College Football, that would be at phantomisland.show.com.
That's right. That is going to be special for paid
subscribers. I just said phantomisland.show.com. It's phantomisland.show. Okay. You know what? I feel like my generation reflexively, you put a .com on everything.
You know...
Put a bird on it.
You really... I'm not going to say anything mean. I'm going to be positive.
In that free, but there's one thing we left out.
Yeah.
All of the bonus content from last year...
That was behind the paywall.
Guess what? That's all free
now, too.
Yes. So
if
you heard about this show...
Yeah.
Or you went to the beautiful website that Ryan designed just on a lark...
Mm-hmm.
All the media that we did last year to promote Who Killed WKCFB.com. Remember, I just said that like all last fall.
Yeah.
So... If you want access to not only the full first season, but all the bonus content where we take people's questions, we kind of break down each suspect and the conclusion, you get it all for free. What, as you're hearing this, Ryan? When is it?
No, day after.
Day after day you're after. Hearing this.
That'd be a tiny bit patient.
So just
I have to physically get it all ready, but I promise it'll be ready.
Christmas on the 26th, that's fine.
Okay, now we can do this show that we're here to do.
Every rustle in the trees a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord and leave me here.
Stephen Godfrey, welcome to Phantom Island, presented by Home Field. I have a very simple question to lead off this episode. I don't think it's the core question of the episode, but it's important to me.
Okay.
You talk a lot about Thursday night college football, and you have on various programs bemoaned the decline of this media product. Why do you love this thing so much? Why is Thursday night college football like hold this special place for you?
So I don't want to get too meta too fast. We were prepping this episode about Thursday night college football. And I had an answer that I was going to give you. And the more that we worked on this show, I think it's more like, it's kind of like going through therapy. I realized that the initial answer was sort of covering up for the bigger feelings that I have about college football, the state of it, my personal fandom of it, and also just nostalgia in general. I want to take you through five. This is like an actual, I don't know if it's therapy or meditation thing. We started talking about this episode, Ryan. I'm really not trying to be this serious, but we kicked around like, what's happened to Thursday night college football? We're going to get into all that in a second.
Yeah.
And you're right. I do come in here and complain all the time that like NFL took my Thursday. Okay. To start this process, I closed my eyes and I thought, Thursday night college football, what are the five first memories that you have? So I'm going to give you those.
Okay.
Because they're all bangers.
Great.
All right. I arranged them chronologically, not from when I remembered them, but from when they happened in the world.
Are we going earliest to latest?
We'll start earliest.
Okay.
Louisville upsetting Florida State in a tropical storm on a Thursday night in 2003.
Okay, sure.
I distinctly remember this because we all stopped bartending in a very crowded bar, and we ran, and oh, man. time to carbon date Godfrey. Mm-hmm. We used to have these giant wooden pallets bolted into the concrete walls of the bar that I was working at the time because we didn't have flat screen HDTV skids. We had big old cumbersome CRTs.
Yeah.
Big old. And I remember getting on a ladder and getting up there and turning the volume up as that game was ending because in Oxford, Mississippi, people were, and this is the beauty of Thursday night, you love the sport, your team's probably not playing, it's the beginning of the weekend, you're going to gather, and oh, there's college football on, and oh, it's good, it's exciting. So there was a tropical storm.
This is 2002, not 2003.
Did I say 2003?
You said 2003.
2002, I'm sorry.
I was looking.
Still bartending, okay. Trust me.
Yeah, sure.
It's part of my 7-year stint before I became Dr. Godfrey. Louisville upset Florida State in the rain. That was the first one that came to my mind, mm-hmm. actually, and the first one chronologically.
Yeah, this is like, so this is right, but this is so old that this is before Bobby Petrino had ever worked at Louisville. This is the last year of John L. Smith.
Ragone is the quarterback, I think. And this is Bobby Bowden, Florida State.
This is Bobby Bowden's 27th season.
This is like Big East Louisville.
Yes.
Or Conference USA. They have not gone to the Big East yet.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, speaking of the Big East and speaking of Louisville, the next one that came to mind, this one I looked up, because I have a cluster, the next second memory was a cluster of 2005 to 2007, Thursday night Big East football.
Yes.
And it also, I'll get into the personal nostalgic side in a second, because it does factor into how we look at sports. Mm-hmm. But Rutgers upsetting Louisville in 06 was the one that I, like, when I was doing the research, my mind's eye, I was coming off of a happy hour. I was working in Nashville. I was kind of had a more grown up job, and like everyone was, happy hour was a big thing. So 2006, I would have been 24, 25.
Do you know Louisville was ranked in this game?
High.
Number 3 in the country.
So we've talked about this a lot. And when we were at Banner Society / SB Nation, we did the 2007 retrospective. For whatever reason, I'm staring at a book on our shelf in our office right now. That's, I think, the Dane O'Neill Big East book. That's about the basketball, right? You used that when we were doing research for Who Killed.
Yeah.
I think you and I just got to do a Remember Some Guys Big East sort of thing, because we just keep freaking talking about this.
Right.
With the backyard brawl that like broke Rich Rod in 07, mm-hmm. or USF going to number 2, or Rutgers becoming something nationally. I'm going to tell you something live on the air, or like that we're going to keep in, that happened to me this morning, and I can pull my phone up to prove it to you.
Okay.
I forgot to tell you this when I walked in the office this morning. On my way to our office, I weave through a neighborhood in Nashville to avoid traffic, mm-hmm. and this neighborhood has like a lot of houses with like a lot of college grads from out of town. It's like kind of a starter home neighborhood, I think you call it. And so we see a lot of college flags. You and I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
There's an Auburn-Memphis house divided.
Yep, I've seen that one. There's a Michigan State flag around here.
There's a Titans-Florida State. I don't know if it's house divided or united or just sad people.
Whatever, yep.
I saw what I thought, Ryan Nanny, was a Rutgers flag.
Mm.
I let out an expletive very loudly in my truck, and I went the opposite direction of our office mm-hmm. to try and get a picture of it. It was a Nebraska flag that was flapping. Okay. So it was the white on red, and I thought it was an R. And I went, oh, my God, I have to show Ryan because you've always been so fascinated with Rutgers fandom.
That's right.
In 2006, Rutgers upset Louisville. This was one of many you could call near classics of Big East football. When you think of college football as an entertainment product, especially if you don't have a vested interest from a gambling or fandom standpoint, mm-hmm. damn, was that good TV to watch.
This is Louisville losing on the road to Rutgers on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
A week after they beat then number 3 West Virginia at home on a Thursday night. So Louisville gave you consecutive Thursdays of bangers.
This really, like, I'm not trying to be schlocky for Gen Xers are going to roll their eyes when I say this. It became must-see TV on Thursday night. It really did.
Right.
It was always funny because back when game day was pure, they would kind of have to open and be like, all right, we're here on this campus. We're excited for Saturday. Here we got to talk about Thursday night.
A thing has already happened that is cool and worth talking about.
Okay, third one. I'm going to try and speed this up. Okay. I just remember exactly what I was doing when I watched this game. I was packing to go on the road for TNA wrestling for like days at a time. And I think I may have been like fighting a flu. Well, you just go through it when you're in your 20s where you're just like, oh, like I might have, like, I don't know, typhoid or sepsis or whatever, and you're just like, I'm still going to go do the thing, yeah, I was going, right, to do. Like, that won't stop me from this guy's wedding, you know, that kind of thing. Matt Ryan throwing up on the sideline in Boston College has the comeback win against Virginia Tech, and that's 2007.
Yeah, yeah.
What looked like kind of a shitty game ends up becoming a banger because of the BC comeback. Mm-hmm. It was a clunky game for Tech. I'm not saying all four quarters of this were, like, super fun. Mm-hmm. Again, remembered what I was doing. I was packing to go out of town, and, like, but then being glued to this. By the way, I know everyone's thinking, oh, Matt Ryan, Mr. Falcons guy. No, I didn't know that. This was when America met Matt Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's probably right. They had just beaten Notre Dame, so that probably counts a little
this
bit
is when
well.
This is when the Southern Americans met, okay, Matt Ryan.
This is when Protestants met,
correct,
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, because we didn't give a... This is the height of not giving a good goddamn about, okay, Notre Dame in, okay, most of the country. What is this? This isn't even the Brian Kelly era yet. This is Charlie Weiss shit. No. Yeah. Everyone avoided watching Notre Dame.
Okay.
Next... The last time I ever considered being an actual Ole Miss fan. Do you know what game I'm talking about off the top of your head?
No.
The year's 2009. Does this help you?
No.
Ever.
No.
This game also produces a now standard prominent tradition for another SEC school.
I really don't know what this is.
This is now called the Sandstorm game.
Oh, I wow.
South,
okay,
Carolina 16, Ole Miss 10. Do you know what Ole Miss was ranked? You're going to look it up.
I am going to look it up, yeah.
Real high, my friend. Like, real, real high.
This is 2009. Yep. Number 4, Ole Miss, early in the season, goes to South Carolina and loses.
Week 2, I believe.
Week 3.
Okay.
Loses 16-10. This, okay, is the sandstorm. I know the story of the sandstorm,
yeah,
game. The base,
yeah.
It's basically an accident,
yeah,
that became popular, and, yeah, now you have, yeah, Darude coming to.
So
Columbia
I was not yet
last season.
Yeah, yeah, I had been a reporter, gone into not a non-journalism job, and I was, yeah, like, I should really root for my alma mater. 2008, my, yeah, now wife was still living in Oxford. Had a really fun time in the Grove. Probably my favorite time was just going down there and seeing my friends and stuff. Would go to games. And I was like, oh, I should really, like, do this. I can find a way through with Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Also, like, Orgeron was gone. Houston Nutt was effective. Little did we know what was coming. And then this game happened, and I remember waking up the next day. And, you know, people always say this when they're, like, my father-in-law talks about quitting LSU, like, 4 times a year.
Yeah, right.
But I was like, this is not logically smart. And sure. I never went back. That was it. So the Sandstorm game, 2009, 16-10. Masterclass from... One Steve Spurrier in you're going to like I'm going to defy the stereotype I'm associated with on the field and beat, mm-hmm, you. It was a good South Carolina defense. It was a hilariously bad Ole Miss game plan. I feel like the Gen Alphas of college football fandom, Ryan, may not be familiar with the wanton, manic, inexplicable swings that Houston Nutt could provide at Arkansas and Ole Miss.
No.
Giant killer.
No.
One,
no,
week.
I think he has been so far out of the game at, yeah, this point that he is, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, without hyperbole.
2007 was a great sort of encapsulation.
Oh,
of
bring
this.
That wood, baby.
You, like, know?
So he had teams at Arkansas at Ole Miss who would absolutely, without hyperbole, be the best team in college football 1 week.
Yep.
And the worst team in college football the next week.
Yep. Yep.
Arkansas fans, Ole Miss fans, obviously can just be like, oh, look, let me tell you about X. I think I feel like generations have forgotten at how insane the product he could provide was.
Yeah. It's
And this doesn't get into the off-field, the Crónicas de las Águilas thing. Like,
no, it's pretty. It's very much...
another EDB, Every Day Should Be Saturday stable.
It's very much, I see this driver ahead of me on the highway, and he's not staying in any lane. So yeah. I'm just going to hang way back and see what... I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah.
Yes. Houston Nutt is nothing if not a dash cam video you cannot stop watching.
You also asked people for their suggestions.
Yes. My last one real
fast.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. As a journalist,
yeah.
This was the fifth thing I remembered,
yeah,
in order.
Yeah.
Stanford, Oregon, 2013.
Oh, that's a great game.
I was there.
Yeah.
Again, Holly was there, I believe. And yeah. then there was another friend of ours in the media that was there. So packed and so crowded, I sat on the roof. On a bar stool on the roof next to a scout from the Broncos and a scout from the Raiders. And it turns out when you have opposing teams like that, scouts, they don't want to make small talk.
Sure.
They don't want to talk.
Sure.
26-20 and at the time, holding Oregon to 20 was a crazy, crazy feat.
And this was this was a game. Stanford led this game 23-0 at the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And had to hold on.
Yeah, for dear
aggressively
life.
Aggressively to make this work.
This was the game that got Derek Mason an SEC head coaching job. This was a top 10 game. Two top 10 teams on a Thursday night. And just so happens that that might serve as a transition into the actual examination. So we can close out with other people's games because there are some beautiful recommendations that I got on social media
Let's hit a few before we recorded this.
You want to do it now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll just stay with the Spencer and Holly tip because Spencer threw out one. Do you remember this fake field goal thing for Georgia Tech
against
Clemson?
Clemson. Okay.
I have many of these.
Okay.
That, and then a bunch of people jumped in the mentions where, like, he joked. So Georgia Tech on a Thursday night lines up. Jeff Munkin, the Army head coach, is the special teams coordinator.
Okay.
They line up for a field goal. Or sorry, they line up on fourth down with personnel to go for it.
Right.
Then they rush on the field goal team. And I believe it's Demaryius Thomas.
Okay.
Who just doesn't technically leave the field.
Oh.
Stands by the sideline. I hope I'm getting this right from a tech standpoint. I should actually like contact Munkin and like figure it, because it's kind of delicious to watch.
Sure.
Which is a weird word to use for sports things. But it was 2009. Again, we're going back to like that type of year. So you can find this on YouTube. It's not, now this game ends in a field goal to win. That's not what you should Google, okay? It's the fake field goal. So Thomas is just sort of lingering by the sideline. They rush out the field goal team to do a hurry up kick. That's ironic because as we record this, as a week before we were actually recording this now, Georgia Tech beat Clemson on a hurry up field goal. It's kind of symmetry. Paul Johnson has Demaryius Thomas linger. They line up in a field goal formation and they do the kind of old school video game fake field goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the holder is the backup quarterback, stands, sets, and throws, and no one has any idea what's going on because they think they've got a hat on a hat, and Thomas has just been dicking off by the sideline and just sort of like half speed trots down the sideline. And he's the crazy thing when you watch this is that it's not a good pass from the backup quarterback, and it sits in the air for like a second too long.
Looks cool.
And dude, it's the lob pass of all lob passes. Sorry. Again, I'll shout out to Holly. Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech pick a year. I think that was a great one. I'm going to do these really fast from one of our longtime listeners and supporters, Matt. The one in Virginia Tech, when Lee Corso's rental car was struck by lightning. Do you remember that?
No.
Lee Corso used to be on the Thursday night broadcasts.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. 95, Virginia over Florida State.
Yes, I do. I remember reading about, I don't remember watching it specifically.
Ethan says, A&M at Virginia Tech, September 18th, 2003, during Hurricane Isabel. We got a lot of hurricane games in here. Okay.
Yeah. That, I mean.
Heather, A&M Oklahoma State game, 2010, when Blackman balled out.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got various. 2021, Pitt UNC. Mac is wearing a camo jacket the entire time. All right. There are so many Georgia Tech or Virginia Tech recommendations here. It's sort of insane. Louisville Rutgers was mentioned by a lot of people. That was in mine. Sandstorm did get brought up a bunch. There's some older ones too. Florida State, Virginia. That was the one where work done was short. That's the same one. Okay. This one almost made my list, Ryan. 2008. Again, you'll notice a trend here for like me and mine is that they're all clustered in the same couple years.
Yeah.
Southern Cal, Oregon State. This one has blended in my mind. It's not the game that Quiz goes off, Quiz Rogers. It's one. There are multiple Oregon State defeats of the good USC teams. This is a different one. Okay.
Okay.
Also, a bunch of people mentioned this, and I know they're going to yell at me if I don't mention this. There's also one of those Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech games where the quarterback doesn't have the jersey, and they have to borrow from the other team and like put it in magic marker. Here's one that I completely forgot about. 2004, Troy 24, Missouri 14. Okay. I can go on and on here.
Yeah.
Kansas State has played some bangers. I saw a really fun Auburn-Kansas State game in like peak Gus. I was there as a reporter. I think that was 14. 2003, Miami 22, West Virginia 20. This is still Big East. There are a lot of Big East things on here. There are a lot of ACC things on here. Everybody that I randomly asked on Blue Sky. This wasn't a thing that if you're a subscriber, I just did this sort of on the fly. Here's again, older generation. I like these too. 1991, when Houston and Klinger came into Miami and people thought Houston had a chance. One of my favorite games I have ever gone
Put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that game.
Houston and Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. That
91 you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the last one, a little bit more recent. Do you remember Lamar Jackson, Louisville quarterback, basically going one-on-one with Ed Oliver?
Yes. Yes. Holy very much shit. So. Not that was one that was not necessarily a like, wow, what a classic game. It was more like, Ed Oliver is very good.
Do you know how many times Houston sacked Lamar Jackson?
I'm going to say 6.
11.
11. That's too many times. That's 11. Too many times.
Louisville scored 10 points in that game.
Yeah.
And this is like peak Tom Herman. So.
Oh, yeah.
Again, the list I could go through forever. Thank everybody.
As a hater, I'm going to throw one more at you.
A hater of mine? Go.
No. Just as like a general hater. Mm. This is Russell Wilson beating Christian Ponder, 28-24. NC State beats Florida State.
Yeah. Okay. That was.
This has like a bad Christian Ponder fumble at the goal line. This has like Russ leading, I think, what ends up being the game-winning touchdown drive. Yeah, this is some good ACC Thursday.
2019, Tulane beat Houston on a fake kneel. Do you remember that? We could go. I mean, like, I have never had a list, a social media solicited list that was just filled with goodness. And this really warmed my heart because, 2004, the Devin Hester Miami game, 41-38 over Louisville.
Yep.
So I've never had a list on social where I'm like, just freaking bangers. Yep. Everybody gave me. Shout out to Southern Miss, who used to wreck people's lives
on Thursday night.
USM 40, TCU 28.
Whew.
Southern Miss used to just humble folks.
Yeah.
You did not want to play them at night in primetime.
All right. That's some good remembering some games.
We have more.
We're going to talk about Thursday as a broadcast history element. It's not exactly how we're going to do it. Whatever. It's fine. But first, we're going to hear a little bit about our friends and sponsors of this show, Homefield. If you've enjoyed Two Dads Remembering Thursday Games from a while back, may I recommend you check out some of the great options at Homefield that will also help you and those around you recall exciting moments of yesteryear, including Oklahoma State's 1976 Big 8 Championship, Clemson's 1981 national title, Kansas State's 1993 trip to the Copper Bowl, where they got the first bowl win in program history, and Wisconsin's Rose Bowl wins in 1999 and 2000. Now, you might say, Ryan, why would I want to revel in greatness gone by? Why not live in the present? Have you seen Wisconsin this year? Did you watch Oklahoma State lose to Tulsa? Do you want to check in on the Clemson or Kansas State fan bases right now? The past is safe and knowable and settled. And yes, Homefield has plenty of soft and comfortable shirts, long sleeves, crew necks, hoodies, hats, and joggers that celebrate your school without tying them to a moment in the past. You can do that too. But I am a Florida fan in 2025, so no, that is not going to be me. Okay, back to the show. So now that you have reveled in Thursday nights gone by,
yeah, I got more. I mean, I'm so excited. I know.
You could do this for an hour.
Wyoming, San Diego State, 1996. Georgia Southern App in the snow. Do you remember that one Halloween?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a very good one.
Okay, I'll stop now.
All right, so I did a little digging to kind of figure out, because part of what I am thinking about here is like, depending on...
You're tired of me coming into the office complaining about Thursday night.
No, well, I'm trying to sort of place it in a larger framework, because depending on how old you are, you may... Like, if you are of a certain, if you're older than we are, a little bit older than we are, maybe like a good bit older than we are, you may look at Thursday Night Football and be like, that's some new bullshit. Like, that's not when football is supposed to be played.
Okay.
And you are roughly correct. Like, if you look at the history of Division 1A football, this doesn't really become a recurring thing outside of Week 1 and Thanksgiving. Week 1 and Thanksgiving are always kind of the outliers because they're both attached to holidays.
When I asked,
yeah,
I did put a caveat on Blue Sky. I said, okay, give me your favorite Thursday night game. I said, the only exception is you cannot do the opening Labor Day and Thanksgiving weeks. Okay. I said, are exempt. Okay. Those are holiday weeks. Right. I'm talking about getting off work and you got to go to work
so
tomorrow.
So we're going
to
do some numbers. We're going to talk about some numbers later that do include those for whatever it's worth. But if you're just looking at, okay, when did Thursday football become a thing? It's not really until like the early 90s that it starts to become a thing at all.
Which, like, I'm immediately going to point out is also the peak of cable box saturation in the United States.
So it is as cable is ramping up. It is as, again, if you listen to Who Killed College Football, it is as sort of the television conglomerate amongst college football conferences and programs is starting to fracture and break apart.
Yeah.
It is when the Big East starts into being as a football conference, which I think is not coincidental by any means. But I said put a pin in that 1991 game, and here is why I said that. ESPN's most watched college football broadcast in 1991 was that Thursday game, number 10 Houston versus number 2 Miami. It was bigger than any Saturday game they did all season long.
Most watched
of the entire season, of the regular season at least. I don't know if that includes bowl games.
Well, I would say ESPN would not have had many rights to things.
ESPN wouldn't have had like the
Rose Bowl. No.
So, okay. So,
Jesus.
But this is also, the other thing that's happening here is that this is also a time when the idea of getting on national television was a harder hurdle for a lot of teams. Just the amount of national broadcasts happening was a far lower bar. So Thursday, to a lot of schools and a lot of programs, was appealing just from the sense of like, ooh, this will guarantee us a spot on national television. Whereas on Saturday, maybe, maybe not. There aren't as many slots to, like, this is before ESPN2 exists. Forget like all the other sort of, you know, there's no Big Ten network. There's no SEC network.
The world hasn't seen Keith Olbermann in a leather jacket yet.
Not yet, but be patient. So that's sort of like when this starts to ramp up in the 90s. I also learned Chris Fowler was already doing game day at this point, obviously.
Right.
But his play-by-play work actually, I think, starts on Thursday night.
It does.
From 2006 to 2009, which is right in the, like, that's also in the, like, a lot of games I feel like you mentioned fall into this rough
Fowler
time
called those games. That's why, a lot of people have strong feelings one way or the other about Fowler as a play-by-play guy. But, I was kind of partial to him because of these Thursday night games.
Right. So then I went back and I said, okay, I want to look, because a lot of... What's tricky about this is sort of figuring out, like, what makes Thursday night good or not. I think, and you and I talked about this before we started recording, you do kind of, in a lot of cases, need a number next to a team. Ideally, you're getting ranked on ranked, but if you can get one ranked team in there with somebody who will push them, or a ranked team that's fun to watch.
Or a ranked team that gets upset, which is a lot of the a lot of the numbers that we're talking about in the remembers, like the Rutgers-Louisville game or Ole Miss-South Carolina. Yeah, watching something with a number fall was a big part of Thursday night.
So the overall, starting around, like, I looked from 2000 to 2024. I left out 2020 for obvious reasons. From this sample,
I can't even remember if they played on Thursday nights.
Right. And I just looked at like how many Thursday night games were there, how many of them involved a ranked team, and how many of those games were a ranked team either versus an FBS team or versus a Power 5 team. The Power 5 thing kind of gets tricky because it doesn't include the Big East, and depending on the year you're talking about, the Big East means different things at different times.
I don't know what you did for your research. I would have included the Big East at the time in this in the power.
But do you include like the Big East at the end? You know, that's what made it tricky for me. So I'm just laying out like the limitations of this.
Always trying to besmirch that UConn Fiesta Bowl.
So what's interesting is that the overall amount of Thursday night football not including this season, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Okay.
And again, this includes week one. It includes Thanksgiving. It doesn't include bowl games.
Okay.
Has not gone down a ton. Like, if you look in 2007, let's say, there are 32 Thursday night games. And if you look in 2023, there were 33 Thursday night games. Like, we're kind of always hovering in this low 30s, mid 40s kind of range. Like, the highest number I found was in 2013. We had 49 Thursday games overall.
Okay.
But who's playing in them changes drastically. In the, like, let's say 2001 through 2016 period, you're regularly seeing, like, okay, 14 to 18 teams are ranked and playing on Thursday nights. Now, sometimes that might just be one game because you're getting two ranked teams playing each other. That's great. I'm not going to, like, penalize Thursday night football for having those matchups, but you are seeing, like, a very high rotation. In 2023, we had 33 total Thursday night games, and four of them involved ranked teams, just four. In 2024, we had 40 Thursday night games, six of them involved ranked teams, and only one of those was a ranked team versus an FBS opponent. Like, what has happened to Thursday night football is not that it's gone away, because it obviously still exists, but it has been abandoned by the people who could make it, the people and teams who could make it more of a premier event.
Can I start complaining about the NFL now, or do you want me to?
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to carry this out almost as a bit now, because the research does lessen anyone's acrimony towards the NFL took Thursday away.
Okay.
Because I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying that it didn't necessarily happen quite that way.
Okay.
Okay. What do you have? Okay. What's your favorite Thursday night NFL memory?
I don't like this game and I don't choose to play it. I feel like Baker Mayfield had a really fun game with the Rams on a Thursday night.
That's the game where he gets hired by the Rams on Tuesday or something.
I don't remember
like that.
If that was a Thursday night game, but that feels like it was a thing.
So that's a little different. Okay. Let's go right back to the peak of my personal remember some guys on Thursday night.
Yeah.
As 2006 and 2007 are occurring.
Yeah.
And Thursday night football is college. It's the Big East. It's the ACC. Sometimes it's the SEC.
Sometimes it's the Pac-10.
Yep. USC fumble in the bag.
Yep.
The NFL notices. And they start what is essentially a trial period for the concept of Thursday nights. Let me get the why out of the way.
Okay.
The why is that starting in the mid-aughts, the NFL is sort of assuming full kaiju. I've had an 8-year-old explain this to me a litany of times, but I'm gonna try and adopt this language of Pokemon.
Goes. Yeah.
This is Final Form Evolution.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. Gotcha.
Please don't.
Even
ask
I
me,
understand that.
Please don't ask me what a Charizard ultimately becomes. Chara Megazord.
Nope, don't do it. You're talking too much now.
This was when the NFL figures out, oh, we are past an entertainment product. We're an American institution and industry.
Yes. Yeah.
And we can essentially own the entire television map. We've talked about this in various ways on various other programs and things we've done. But the mid-aughts is when, I don't know if it's when they start to assume that form, Ryan, because a lot of things happen in the next decade. But I think it's when the aspiration starts.
It's when they start testing what can we do in different places. How can we do this in different ways and places?
As Lil Wayne would say, scared money don't make no money. And this is when the NFL really decides, you know what? We want all the money, so we're going to risk. Risk is the funny word, but it was risk.
Yeah.
We're going to risk putting our inventory on Thursday nights.
Right.
Because cable's at its zenith.
Yep.
All right? All the basic networks want NFL content.
Yep.
We'll get into the digital thing, because that affects Thursday night greatly.
We should also say separately, there are there are federal legal reasons why they can't play on Friday night.
Yes, there are. So in 2006, five Thursday night games are sort of floated as a trial period.
Yes.
But they don't start until late November.
It's like week 13 or so.
They build them around Thanksgiving on into the playoff race.
To be sort of a like, oh, here we are. Like, this is kind of what college basketball has done at various points with like, oh, these are like the bracket buster games.
these are, in a similar way, it's the race to the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
This is also when the NFL is sort of kicking around. It's probably when they're at their apex of, should we also be in the broadcast business? The NFL mm-hmm. Network, cable's at its strongest.
Mm-hmm.
We're not streaming anything yet, okay, in 2006.
Well, you know who became, you know what happened in 2006 with the NFL? Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner.
It's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
In 2006, we're not streaming anything, and the NFL Network is a much more powerful entity. As we record this, it was just basically sold off as sort of a much smaller piece mm-hmm. to ESPN. A little bit of quid pro quo there. But at the time, the NFL Network's a big deal, so we're going to use the NFL Network. We're going to start on Thanksgiving, and we're going to do a 5-game trial and see how it goes. All right? Then, after that, Thursday Night Football becomes a rights package.
Yep.
And the reason why this is important for the NFL is it's another thing that they can put on the shelf to sell to various networks.
Right. They ramp it up slowly. Starting in 2008, it moves to like 7 games.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's still piecemeal.
Yep.
And the rights to Thursday night become an entity that they start to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be really clear on something. The rights to Thursday Night Football are confusing, and they always have been, because the two biggest Thursday games of the year are not involved in this rights package,
mm-hmm.
and that is the two weekends that we talked about. Well, technically not Labor Day weekend. It's opening week, opening night
and
game,
the Thursday Thanksgiving
game,
yeah,
which are not part of the Thursday night package.
Right.
If this is confusing, welcome to the NFL, okay? NBC, as of right now, as they build out Sunday Night Football as an anchor piece of broadcast programming, takes the rights to those two nights.
Yeah.
So every year now, if in the year of our Lord 25 as we record this, what you are programmed to expect in the NFL as a fan is that the defending Super Bowl champion
mm-hmm.
will open, it's usually at home,
I believe.
Against someone. It doesn't have to be a Super Bowl rematch. It's usually just whatever will pop the biggest rating.
It's not usually, I don't think.
No, in fact, I think...
Because I think Chiefs-Lions was it 2 years ago,
yeah.
if I remember correctly.
I know the Eagles have...
And this year it was Eagles-Cowboys.
Yeah, and the Eagles have been the visitor maybe for... I don't know if it was a direct Chiefs rematch. I want to say a couple years ago it was
sure.
like Eagles on the road with somebody. It's a marquee event. Again, don't even worry about streaming yet.
Yeah,
that's
right,
not a thing.
Right.
Thursday night bounces around for a while. There's also a hiccup where the NFL doesn't want to lose viewership even with cable's total sort of permeation. So you'll have – for 5 or 6 years, you have NFL Network cable games. But if you're in like Miami, that game's also available on CBS.
Right.
In your local market.
Right.
And
right.
CBS will produce that.
Right.
Okay? So they go and they tour all the different network partners that you could have for a while.
And now we're on Amazon.
Starting in 2014
– Yeah.
It is sold independently as its own package.
As its own product.
TNF. They've been trying to market freaking TNF.
Yep.
Like, Fetch ain't working. Please stop. Okay. So right now, TNF, so terrible, is an Amazon property.
Yeah.
Okay? But I've also jumped ahead in time for the sake of this podcast in which Netflix is now a partner of the NFL.
Yep.
Christmas Day is now a thing. Thanksgiving has been taken over almost completely. In fact, Ryan... I'm not going to pose this to you, but you go ahead and answer it.
Yeah.
Tell the people what the all-star college football TV lineup for this Thanksgiving will be.
There is one game on Thanksgiving this year, and it is Navy Memphis.
No power teams whatsoever.
No.
Okay? Nothing against Navy or Memphis.
And this is just a day when you were so used to, like, Texas A&M is going to play on this day, or Ole Miss and Mississippi State are going to play.
Backyard Brawl, Egg Bowl,
big
cornerstones.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, Texas, the last game ever before
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
that was a Thanksgiving game.
LSU had like a pretty good Thanksgiving presence for a while, and now we're just sort of like, nope.
I've spent many, many Thanksgivings in a press box because of the Egg Bowl. Now it has been essentially owned and taken over by...
Seated is what I would say.
Sure.
Yeah.
To the NFL. In addition, we can talk about Black Friday in a second if we want
mm-hmm,
to. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stay on your path here. So now the NFL has Thursday nights. Thursday
yes.
nights belong to Amazon Prime because I'm not going to get into the rise of Amazon. Just look, if you're listening to this, you know what Amazon is.
Yeah.
Prime holds the rights to Thursday nights.
If you don't, man, what a cool life.
Do you know what happened? We haven't talked about this
on
or off the air yet. Do you know what happened last Thursday?
Last Thursday.
The Packers and Commanders played
the
Thursday night game.
Yeah.
And there's a small asterisk to this, but okay. The number to me is that it set a viewership record.
For Thursday night. Okay.
Because the NFL now is adopting not just viewership, but sort of that plus model.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Basically better calculating television viewership. Television viewership, quick aside, has been a sort of a mess in the streaming era because we had these like TV Nielsen ratings for a long time, and that was how we figured out viewers, and streaming jacked all that up.
Right.
So now that this is a streaming property, what they figured out was the better, just like Sunday or Monday Night Football, the better premier game that we put on Thursday night, we can really pop a mega rating.
Cowboys really helped with that trade, by the way.
Oh, God. We already did that episode.
Okay.
All right, take me to your theory.
So part of what was interesting doing research for this episode is that there was a stretch where the ACC had a rule that every member of the conference had to play on Thursday at least once every 2 years. So it didn't matter if you were Florida State or Clemson, like the name on the helmet, like this was a concerted effort that they were undertaking. And I think when Thursday got started for ESPN in the 90s, it was very much the same sort of thing of like, hey, there's open space here that we can win because there's, you know, pro football wasn't a thing on Thursday night at that point. And it was appealing to everyone. This is where I'm going to stick a knife in your gut, but I do it with love.
Always.
I think what you are mourning is not the loss of Thursday night football. I think bizarrely you are
Thursday night college football.
I think what you are actually sad about, maybe without realizing it, is the dissolution of Big East football and the decline of ACC football. And there are a couple of things I can associate with that. And here's how I want to sort of lay that out. So I went through the Power Five conferences to say, okay, in the same 2000 on period, how often were the teams in these conferences on Thursday? Because this covers a lot of time in realignment, I sort of use the like post Utah A&M Nebraska moves out to the Pac-12. SEC, Big Ten, respectively.
2013-14 era.
Yes, yeah, that's sort of the rosters that I'm looking at for purposes of this. Okay. First of all, the Big Ten is not part of this conversation at all. The Big Ten basically, outside of week one, doesn't do Thursday football. That's, you can find a couple of small
You can't
examples.
Play football on Thursday. It's like a, I think it's a rule in the Catholic Church, actually.
Once
it's dark outside.
I think weather's a
that's
big...
That's when the demons come out.
Weather's a big part of this. We know that, like, the Big Ten has not embraced night games in the same way that other conferences have over the past 30 years,
Took them a while to get used to the forward pass. So.
Well, some of the schools didn't have lights, man. Like... Purdue didn't have lights.
Whose fault is that?
I understand. I'm just saying.
We're from the poorer agrarian part of the United States, and we put fucking lights up in the stadium.
All I'm saying is this.
Long is an economic visionary.
If you have positive memories of Thursday night football, the Big Ten was never associated with them in the first place.
Correct.
So nothing the Big Ten has done is technically has led to the decline of Thursday night college football.
Okay, so they're
in
off.
Some sense. So they're off.
Okay.
The SEC had a pretty good presence. 110 Thursday night games played from 2000 since 2000, but it was highly concentrated. Even if you don't count the Thanksgiving games against Ole Miss, Mississippi State was on Thursday night 11 times. South Carolina, 18 Thursday games. Texas A&M, this stretches back to some of their Big 12 history. 15 Thursday games. But then you can find other teams. Alabama, only twice. Florida, once, and it was 2023 season opener against Utah. Georgia has not played on a Thursday since the 1995 clean old-fashioned hate game, which was on Thanksgiving.
Which shouldn't count.
And I'm pretty sure, if the records I looked at are right, you have to go back to 1913 to find a non-week one non-Thanksgiving Thursday game that the Georgia Bulldogs have.
Could they play on Thursday in 1913?
Oh my God! Now I have to go look it up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. We're gonna stitch this together. In 1913, on November 6th, Georgia beat Clemson 18-50 in Augusta, Georgia.
Dabo scared.
So, The SEC, Tennessee's only played three Thursday night games. It was a heavy dose of what I would call like some SEC West and South Carolina contributing to this ever. Auburn's played a fair number of Thursday games as well. Okay. Pac-12 with a smaller membership, 137 Thursday games. Again, like largely tilted in favor of some teams against some others, but not necessarily in the way you would think. Like Oregon has been on Thursdays more than Cal has. Arizona State has been on Thursday a ton. Almost anybody in the league with 23. Utah has had 30 Thursday night games, but again, this also stretches back to when they're in the Mountain West, and it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
The team with the fewest Thursday appearances since the year 2000 is Washington. Only three of them, recently in 2015. But the Pac-10 was doing its part to be part of your Thursday night experience. The old Big 12, only 95 games, and truthfully, they are like 25 of those are West Virginia, and I know that's Big East West Virginia.
Right.
That said, like reasonably spread out, Texas has played on Thursday 10 times in that time period. Oklahoma State has played 10 times as well. So like some, not nothing, but the ACC, I want to set the table again. Right now, our leader in the clubhouse is the Pac-12 with 137 Thursday night games. The ACC played on Thursdays 270 times.
Jesus.
And because it was like, because it was so aggressively spread out, you have 12 Florida State games, 29 Georgia Tech games, 26 Miami games, 27 NC State games, 33 Virginia Tech games, 16 Clemson games, 11 Boston College games. The lows are Duke with 6 and Syracuse with 6. And I think part of that with Duke is that for a lot of the time period we're talking about, Duke football was bad.
They were terrible. Yeah, they just wouldn't put it in prime.
I think that was that was not a Duke's trying to get out of
playing
Thursday.
Cuse had some bad runs too. Yes. Post McNabb, they're irrelevant for a minute.
Now, obviously, a lot of this, like Louisville's played 29 Thursday games. Okay, a lot of this is stretching. We talked about like stretching back to Conference USA and the Big East. So there is some blending.
Louisville
here
has
that's
three
going on.
In the time period we're talking about. They have three conference affiliations.
But I think thinking about both the games that you mentioned and the games that stick out for a lot of people, and the sheer amount of Thursday night football that the ACC / Big East / Conference USA was participating in, I think what actually happened is that these leagues declined for a lot of reasons that we could get into and have gotten into in some
cool.
That's right. And I think that's what's actually bumming you out. But that said, I will concede that they have also abandoned this almost entirely. We are recording this after NC State's already played Wake Forest on Thursday night. And if you look at the rest of the schedule for 2025, there is not a single Power Four team left to play on Thursday, including on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I want to talk about Friday night and then come back and answer your theory.
Okay.
So the other thing that spawned this episode was the consistent complaining from me about Thursday night being sort of ceded to the NFL. So then there was a report, I saw it on Awful Announcing, but it was ESPN executives talking about the confidence, excitement that they have for a pejorative term, at least now and forever for me, Friday night football. College football on a fucking Friday night.
But again, why is ESPN interested in college football on Friday night?
Because, Ryan, and this is detailed in the stories, the shift in rights in other sports, namely the National Basketball Association, has opened up a window. Now, simultaneous to that, I'm not going to let the Big Ten off the hook here, Fox is also pushing Friday night college football with the inventory they have from the Big Ten and Big 12 specifically. So as we record this last week, I watched Houston and Colorado play on Friday night. And if we want to go through the season, like there are good games. The Thursday night games that basically don't exist anymore, Ryan,
have moved to Friday.
Are Friday night games, which is why maybe I would push back a little bit on the morning of a specific conference.
Okay.
Save for the Big East, but we'll get back to your theory in a second. But I'm just going to randomly do this. I'm going to look up my schedule.
I got it right here for you. We have Florida State currently ranked top 10, is going to play a Friday night game at Virginia.
Yeah. Here's
next week.
Or I randomly
this is coming out.
Here's I randomly pulled up week 8.
Yep.
To give you an idea of what we're dealing with. On Thursday night, Tulsa's going to go to ECU. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of irony here because Friday night football was a placeholder that Mike Oresko, when he was the head of the Big East, which becomes the American Athletic Conference, which is now the American. They tried to get national exposure by hook or by crook, as I like to say, and they signed an agreement with ESPN to be the Friday night game. When I was still covering games for Vox, I would get to my hotel or my Hampton Inn somewhere and watch like Memphis play Tulane or, you know, ECU play Tulsa, whatever, on a Friday night. They have now been dumped off, relegated back to Thursday as fodder against the NFL. So I randomly pulled up week 8, Ryan. Tulsa's going to play at ECU. This is October 16th. On Friday night alone, this is just Friday night, Louisville and Miami are going to play. Miami probably a top 10 team when they play. Nebraska and Minnesota, a conference game in the Big Ten. You're talking about the Big Ten's purity, okay? San Jose State, Utah State on CBS Sports. And then another conference game that night, North Carolina at Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Those are four Friday night games.
Yeah. You could, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
I pulled a week at random.
I'll
do it again one more time just to prove my point.
Okay.
All right. Thursday night, November 13th of this year. Only game, Troy at Old Dominion.
Okay.
Friday night, Clemson's at Louisville. That is a massive ACC game.
Minnesota
at Oregon.
Yep.
So you have a top 10 team playing a conference game on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, as we record this, Clemson's a bit down. I don't know what the future... Like, that's a massive, important game for the ACC championship race, which is a playoff game, like a playoff play-in game.
Yeah.
This is on Friday night.
Yeah.
This bothers me, and I don't know why it bothers me so much. Maybe it's just change, but this is where the reporter hat comes on. I have asked periodically coaches, what's it like playing on Friday night? How much of a pain in the ass is that?
Yeah.
I will grant you, and I was asked this question on the single wing maybe two or three single wings ago. It is never ideal, is the quote that I got this year. It's never great. Like, you're never fired up for it. Unless you're at a really small, like, G5 and you've got an opportunity and you feel good about, like, a potential upset.
Yeah.
It's never ideal. But it has been acknowledged to me that it is less impactful than it used to be on the high school recruiting calendar or structure. So on a Thursday, what a lot of coaching staffs will do, used to do and still do, Thursday, you'll carve out some time. Thursday night's usually your family night on a coaching staff, but it's after you make your calls. And that is like, all right, you need to call these six guys and say, hey, good luck on your game tomorrow night. Then on Friday night, depending on if you're home or away, you are going to stand on somebody's sideline and show that you're there, okay? And recruit. Can't do any of that apparatus if you're on Friday night.
Yeah.
All right? Friday night sucks. So I mentioned this. The last Friday night game as we record this was Colorado-Houston. If you're Houston, you're not Texas or Texas A&M, and you're not several other schools. You have money and you have support. It behooves your ass to be on a sideline at
Does
Katy.
Texas care about high school football? I'm unclear.
As you made that joke to me, in my eye line is there a stack of Dave Campbell's. Shout out to the guys at Dave Campbell's. I just did that podcast. So if you're Houston, it behooves your ass to be on a sideline at like Katy. I just pulled that one out. That was the most like perennially good Houston area team I could think of. So does it hurt less? Yes. We're in a, I almost said DVR era, which is not the era we're in anymore.
Yeah,
but like for people to, like, you can pull up games later and recruits are different now. I've heard all that kind of stuff or whatever. Yes, but you would rather that game be on a Saturday so you can be more effective and more present. So Friday night sucks. By the way, head coaches don't really like weeknight games ever, no matter what they say, because they are so slavish to routine and they don't want to interrupt anything. As we are recording this minutes before we got on, I think it was Brett McMurphy broke that the Big 12 is moving an in-season, like mid-season conference game to London next year.
Cool. Like, for Kansas, it'll be like their fourth game of the year.
Friday night is also, I don't know why it bothers me so much. I guess it's just a day off of Saturdays.
So I guess What I'm landing on is that I don't think the rise of Thursday Night Football in the NFL certainly plays a part in it. I'm not going to say, nope, irrelevant. But I think what happened here is that as the Big Ten and the SEC became the predominant partners mm-hmm. of the broadcasters, that impacted what they decided to do with Thursday. As we said, the Big Ten wasn't doing Thursdays at all.
Yeah.
And the SEC was doing them, but in a very much like, hey, it's the Wednesday sushi special. Here, look, South Carolina on discount.
This California roll is 10 hours old. Please buy it for $4.
And I think as a result of that, that's what led to sort of, okay, Thursday became a spot to fill rather yes. than a slot to be excited about and sort of amplified.
Slight footnote there.
Yeah.
As the SEC network forms, there are some Thursday night games in the formation of that help add pressure.
Yes.
You and I talked about this in our research.
The first SEC network game, I believe,
is on a Thursday night. I think it's Texas A&M South Carolina.
That's right. Yeah.
But that was all that was by design, not to say, hey, we could be look on Thursdays.
Cool. Yes.
No. They wanted to apply as much pressure to cable carriers as possible in 2014 yeah. because they also moved the Arkansas Auburn game to week one mm-hmm. that year. And this was not normal for the SEC to put regular back then division play games on the first Saturday.
Right.
Extremely rare.
Right.
So the SEC basically said, I should kind of footnote inside of a footnote, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of schools said absolutely not ever.
Yeah.
So I know at my alma mater they would never agree to the reason why the Egg Bowl worked was that it was on a Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
Thursday. But the school specifically said that like you can't, this is back when Ole Miss was a 6-6 entity that basically advertised its tailgating over its football product
yeah.
and said, well, we can't do the tailgating thing, literally.
Right, right.
And there were other schools that said, absolutely not ever. Like, a very, very rich alumni went to, like, presidents of those schools and said, you tell television, like, we're not doing a Thursday night. We're not doing a Wednesday night. We're not doing a Tuesday. Like, no. The answer is no.
So, let me close. Let me ask yet another question here. Nebraska is going to play at Minnesota on a Friday night in mid-October.
Mm-hmm. Snow.
Unusual.
Snow.
If we start seeing
dilly bars
that same night, Louisville's going to Miami. Like these are very like
Coke,
one of these
Coke.
One
what are we doing here?
Louisville Miami feels like it's like, hey, remember everything you loved about Thursday night?
Oh
football?
Yeah, no doubt.
Whereas yeah. Nebraska Minnesota seems like, hey, want to try something completely different? Like these two teams shouldn't play on a Friday night. That's crazy.
I got to shout it out though. We did SCD Live a couple years ago, and Thursday night in Minneapolis,
yeah.
It was Nebraska, Minnesota. You know why? State Fair.
But that was week one.
And Labor Day.
That
again, it
one.
Doesn't count. Yes.
So how are you going to, like, let's assume Thursday night's not coming back.
It's not.
All right. How are you going to feel if Friday night starts to, like, if we see Nebraska, Minnesota is a banger, and then Louisville mm-hmm. upsets
yeah.
Miami on the road.
Yeah.
Are you up for, okay, we've lost Thursday, but I can get behind the idea of Friday night is where
yeah.
the spirit of Thursday night football has moved on to.
So the problem is we researched this show like ahead of time because you have to, and the initial conceit that I brought to you changed dramatically in the process of doing the research.
Sure.
And so I'm going to give you a really sad answer, but a really honest answer.
Okay, great.
I am not mourning Thursday night football. It's two things. Let me answer your first question.
You miss being 27?
No, I'm going to answer your first question.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up embracing and probably like aggressively and dedicatedly watching on Friday nights because I'm 44 and I'm a father of three. Guess what I'm doing on Friday
nights?
You're not
going to Lower Broad?
Okay. I am not mourning this. I am mourning two things
okay.
that are distinctly American. The emphasis on youth.
Yeah.
And consumerism or capitalism.
Okay.
It's the same reason I get nostalgic when I see empty malls, which is such a sad thing to admit.
Sure.
That's just a form of consumerism.
Yeah.
If I think Amazon dropping off packages via drone to everyone's house so
yeah.
they can get, you know, toothpaste and whatever is awful, what was so noble or romantic about a shopping mall? It's just what I grew up
sure,
on.
Sure. It's like people who are embracing the nostalgia of Barnes & Noble as if that conglomerate didn't squash independent bookstores.
And that, when you come to understand that, when you get past
yeah.
the sadness of your own nostalgia, that it hurts even more. We realize I'm mourning something that killed another thing off.
I'm mourning the capitalism of my youth, not of my middle age.
Ryan, you're exactly right. That's not even a joke because, you know, you set the table in the research here saying like, if I was 5 years older, I probably wouldn't have this reaction.
Yeah.
Because Thursday would have been the novelty that Friday is to me now.
Right.
So in actuality, yes, I was 20 in my 20s and I was at happy hours and everybody was out and we were all in the, I really do feel like you're in your prime fandom the first 5 years after you graduate from a football school.
Sure.
You move, a lot of people move to a city away. Mm-hmm. We know this from our listenership, like people move to Chicago or Washington, D.C. specifically, and everybody goes to their Wisconsin or their South Carolina bar or whatever. And on Thursday night, you're
seeing a lot of bad choices made at the Florida bars in New York.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're starved to death for that drug you love of college football, and it's a Thursday night. Also, if you're 25, yeah, the weekend starts on Thursday.
Right.
You're like a functional corpse in your office on Friday, and then you go back to another happy hour.
But you're one of many functional corpses.
Correct.
So it's okay.
Whereas now,
and
like,
it plays differently when you're that guy and you're 43.
I'm furious when the Falcons are in prime time. I'm so mad. We better go to bed.
Well, we can't.
I want to go to bed.
We're not going to talk about the Falcons and you being furious.
No. I want to be clear about this.
Yeah.
When October baseball comes around.
Yeah, sure.
The Falcons could be the Eagles, and I'd be like, fuck,
yeah,
I don't want to stay up till 11.
Right.
So it's mourning the youth. It's remembering that carefree feeling of like a bunch of random people in a bar, like that table next to you. Oh, all those people went to like Arkansas and Michigan. I don't even know them, but oh my God, did you just see what happened to Rutgers?
Mm-hmm.
It was such a communal experience.
Yeah.
But it was no more traditional. It was no more of the fabric of college football than what Friday night football will be for a 26-year-old in 2030.
I agree. And if November 21st rolls around and on that Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Florida State rolls in and loses to NC State, oh, it's going to feel like old times. It's going to feel like old times.
Ryan, we are recording this on a Thursday. I'm going to watch every minute of Rice and Charlotte tonight.
Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber and presented by Homefield. Our theme music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard comes from the song Phantom Island from their album of the same name. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.